What is going on, everybody? Welcome back. You're listening to The Introverted Nerd Watches, and I am your host, Reese. And it's time for some more Saved by the Bell. And this week, I watched season 4, episode 22, Rockumentary. Yes, it's the Rockumentary, everybody. Oh my God, I did not even... We have just gotten a real good run of like famous episodes, or just the more memorable episodes. I mean, we had last week, No Hope with Dope. Come on. Everybody loves that. And then, I mean, the only like odd one out was the Hold Me Tight, the Christy wrestling chick thing. But before that, like the episodes before that, we got the Palm Springs Weekend, those two episodes. We got Zach's famous SAT episode. I mean, it's just been a good run for a few episodes now. So come on, we have to give Saved by the Bell some credit. They knew what they were doing when they were putting out, when they were putting these episodes together. I do like this Rockumentary though. It's not my favorite episode, but it's not even up. I don't even think it's in my top five, but it is one of those episodes that, like low key, this is the first time I watched it in a long time. And, I kind of enjoy it more than I remember that I did. Like I had fun. I had like genuine, laughs in this episode, not from anything that they like wanted me to laugh at, but it was funny to me. Like this episode was really funny to me. So we're going to get all into the Rockumentary. But before that, you should subscribe to the podcast. It's available everywhere you get your podcast. So Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher. I'm also on iHeartRadio and Spotify. So go to all those places, hit that subscribe button. Give me a review, rate and review the podcast, and recommend me to all of your friends and family. It's the holiday season, so you need something to do. Everybody needs something to do to take a few hours off from your family. You know, I'm like stockpiling podcasts so that I can, so that I have enough things saved up so I can completely ignore my family, eat my food on Thanksgiving, and get out of there with as little stress as possible. Or I'll probably just skip my family's Thanksgiving and cross my fingers and hope my mother brings me a plate so that I don't have to see any of those people. But you know, I have to see her, but one person as opposed to like the 20 people that are going to actually be there annoying me, wanting hugs. Come on. Anyway, I always get off on those tangents. I obviously have like major problems with my family, and I should probably do a whole other podcast about why me and my family just don't connect next year. Anyway, let's get on to this Rockumentary, because do people know about the Rockumentary? I was saying that it's like one of those more well-known episodes, but do people really know about the Rockumentary? I don't know. Like, I feel like this Rockumentary is the precursor to, what's that show? California Dreams, the show that, started up like after a few years after Saved by the Bell, you know, with the band in California, the California Dreams. but yeah, I feel like this is the episode that gave us the California Dreams. I used to love that show too. And low-key, I used to love that music. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed about that. I was on YouTube the other day watching old California Dreams episodes. And I was like really bopping to that music. I freaking love that music when it was on. Now, to be clear, I only love the music of the first California Dreams band, where it was Matt, His sister Jenny, Antoine or Antonio, what's his name? Antoine? I think his name was Antoine. And Tiffany, the bass player. So those four, I love the first album, and then I'm not here for any of that shit afterwards. So just just in case anybody was wondering, I'm a California Dreams purist. I only like the original band. Anyway, let's get on to this rockumentary, because Casey Kasem is back. And Casey Kasem was in the episode where I believe, was it Casey Kasem or Dick Clark? I can't tell them two apart. They're two just like old men that wear Coogi sweaters and are kind of short radio guys. Like, I'm sorry, I can't tell them. And I know this guy, this Casey Kasem guy, was like, wasn't he Scooby-Doo, or is he Shaggy-Doo or Shag, whatever. He did a voice on Scooby-Doo show. I believe he was in the episode where Lisa breaks her ankle, like the dance contest that they have. Like, I think that was in like the first or second season that I did. So yeah, he's back. He's narrating the documentary, and like, he just, I don't know why they even needed him, because he just comes in as, he's not funny. He doesn't really tell jokes. It turns out, and it's going to turn out, that this documentary is not really a documentary. There's some Inception shit going on at the end of this episode that I'm going to talk about, but, I don't know why he's here. And I don't know, did kids in the early 90s know who Casey Kasem was? Because I had no idea who Casey Kasem was when I was growing up. Like, he's just a random dude, like a random brown dude. Or maybe he's white and he's just like super tan, like that dude George Hamilton. I'm not sure. But I know that his hair is shoe polish black. Like, I could not even concentrate on anything else except his loud sweater and his like shoe polish hair. So good for him. Oh, and I heard in a few years ago, I think he died, but his family were like arguing over his body or something like that. I remember that. But I didn't, when I was a kid watching this show, I had no idea who the fuck Casey Kasem was. But he's back on this show, so somebody knows who he is. And he introduces us to the Zack Attack. And that is the gang's band. And somehow they all agreed. Mine is Jesse. I wonder what happened to Jesse. Like, where was Jesse during the Zack Attack years? But it's Screech. I'm sorry, Zack, Screech, Slater, Lisa, and Kelly for the Zack Attack band. And I don't know why the other four of them agreed to be called Zack Attack. Like, I really don't. I don't understand. I mean, they know how Zack is. Why would they agree to this? Did they want to be a part of a band so bad? Or could nobody think of any other name for a band other than letting Zack say, yo, Zack rhymes with attack, y'all. So let's call ourselves Zack Attack. I always wonder about that. Like, a band that is named after one person, like Van Halen or Bon Jovi. Like, I wonder how that works out. Why everybody else agrees to it? Like, is it like Zack was there first and he found out that he figured out that he needed a band, or Bon Jovi figured out that he needed a band, and then he's like, okay, let me call these dudes I know, or let me just bring all of these other people in, and they just have to put up with it because, you know, it started as my band. Van Halen, I kind of get, because Van Halen started with Eddie Van Halen and his brother, the unknown Van Halen that I can't remember his name, but this doesn't matter. I don't know why I'm getting into this. But the one thing I am like wondering is like, why did everybody else agree to be called Zack Attack? Anyway. It's a question that will never be answered, and it was bothering me the whole episode, because I'm like, they know how Zach is. They know what a piece of shit he is. Why are they agreeing to be called Zach Attack, to be like tied to his name so much? Especially Slater. Like Slater, I'm surprised Slater didn't want to be called like the Slater Group or the Slater Band or something. Like Slater's, he's the only one that actually plays an instrument. Like Mario Lopez gets high level disrespect in these episodes, because he's the one that I feel is like actually talented, like multi-talented, which says a lot about this group. But he actually plays like, I feel like he's the hardest working dude on this show, because he comes in, he's like super buff and athletic, so he does that. Mario Lopez dances. He actually plays the drums. And so every time they have something like this where they need somebody to showcase an actual talent, he's the only one that's able to do it. And what's her name? Jessie, Elizabeth Berkeley. She does it sometimes when they have to dance or something like that. But everybody else is like around here, like fake, badly faking their talents. Because, oh my God, Lisa and Screech are the worst, the absolute worst fake instrument players. Like Lisa is just, she's playing her bass. And to be fair, she's better this time than she was in that prom episode where Zach and Kelly broke up. But she's like, her hands are all over this bass. It's not, there's no like uniformity at all. So she's like, one second she's like just slapping her hands like against the strings, and the next minute her hands are like still and she's just moving like her thumb or something like that. It is awful. And Screech is like a two-year-old just banging on the keyboard. It's terrible. But okay, we're going to pretend that these people have talent. And then so poor Slater is just sitting around, or poor Mario Lopez just being good on the drums. I mean, I don't even know how good at the drums he actually is, but he does. It does seem like he actually plays the drums, or at least he's good at fake playing the drums. So yeah, that's my new discovery. Mario Lopez is the hardest working man in Saved by the Bell. So these guys are in their or in somebody's garage. I'm assuming it's Zach's garage. That's why the band is called Zach Attack, because they practice in Zach's garage. So he's like, if you're going to be at my house, you play by my rules, and this band belongs to me. So everybody get in line. I'm the boss. Anyway, so they're playing their hit single, or what's going to become their hit single, Friends Forever, which is just such a terrible song, and I can't get it out of my head. It's like, Friends Forever. Go listen to it, so you're stuck with it too, and I'm not the only one suffering. So while they're singing there, Kelly tells Zach that Friends Forever is the best song he's ever wrote. I love Kelly, but come on, girl. She is just such a fucking Pollyanna. So while they're singing that song, Casey Kasem shows up to tell us that fate played a hand, and then a British guy who borrowed Robin Leach's accent shows up. His name is Brian Fate, and he manages the Beach Buddies, and he was just running past Zach's house. So this is like, okay, so many things right here. So many things just in this one little section. So Brian Fate, terrible British accent, or maybe not even a terrible British. I don't know why he chose this like Robin Leach announcer's voice for this character he's going to be playing. Like, because I was thinking, like, is this a fake British accent and he's just like mimicking Robin Leach from I mean, if you don't know, he's from Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous Kids. And so he has this big, like, British boomer, like this booming British accent where he's, why? I don't know why he has this voice. So, and he shows up, he's running past, and they recognize his name. Like, what? Really? Okay. Maybe it's just me and I'm not really a music person, but if somebody told me who Beyonce's manager was, I wouldn't know who the fuck they were talking about. Or Rihanna's manager, because I remember when who Beyonce's manager used to be her dad. I don't know who her manager is now, but like if somebody, like I knew Beyonce's manager was her dad because he was like a big part of it. But Rihanna's manager, Jay-Z's manager, Kanye, like I don't know who any of these people's managers are. But as soon as this guy says, "Hey, I'm Brian Fate," Zach immediately is like, "Oh, you manage the Beach Buddies." And come on, you guys, the Beach Buddies, we couldn't come. Oh, once again with these fake names. Last week it was Johnny Dakota. This week is the Beach Buddies. It's like we aren't even trying at this point. We couldn't, like, you could. I get it. The Beach Boys, a thing. You want to be like that. But come on. We couldn't think of anything better than the Beach Buddies. That just sounds corny. Like, I wouldn't even want to talk to a guy that was managing the Beach Buddies. Brian Fate heard Friends Forever running past. He loved it. So he just has to get Zach Attack into the studio. He has to make them a big thing. And they go from zero to... zero to about 65 and 2.5 seconds, because they go from this garage band to playing in clubs, and like I don't know how long any of this takes. We're supposed to see a progression because they start playing in small clubs and they slowly move up to like big concerts, but I don't know. I don't know how old they were all supposed to be, because another age thing comes up for me where Zach is starting to date a real old woman. So time just doesn't exist in the rockumentary. It ceases to exist. Things just happen. Ages don't exist. None of that. Just they exist in this plane in the rockumentary, and you shouldn't question it because you will just drive yourself mad. So they end up meeting Mindy, the publicist, who is going to end up being Zach's girlfriend. Now, Mindy looks 45. She's supposed to be like this cool young publicist chick that is going to take the band to another level, but no. And Zach starts flirting with her right away. He, you know, I guess she's blonde or something, and Zach sees another blonde woman and he just goes right for it. It just doesn't matter what she looks like. She's a blonde woman with long hair, and Zach is into it. But she's like 45, and it's just so much worse because Kelly and Lisa are standing right there and they're so much better looking than this woman. I'm sorry. I don't want to be that person, but come on. Zach can do better. He has done better. And there are better choices that are in Zach Attack with him. I don't know why I let these things upset me, but they do upset me. When he goes after old women, It always upsets me when he chooses these like women that are supposed to be, I know they're supposed to be young, but they look old. So whatever. Anyway, we're on to super blonde Zach. Like Zach is, I feel like he's come into peak Zach right here. Like, his hair is super platinum blonde. He's got the haircut where the sides are shaved and the top is really long. It's classic Zach. It's the Zach you think of when you think of Zach Morris. So I don't know exactly when that happened. I wasn't paying attention, but in this episode is where I noticed it. It's like, this is Zach Morris. If you tell anybody about Zach Morris, you pull up a picture, it would be like Zach Morris circa this episode. So, yeah. Any old way. They are so successful. Their next big hit is Did We Ever Have a Chance? And I love this song. This song is so awesomely bad. I can't stop singing it. Zach and Kelly's part are just, I can't get enough of it. You know, Zach, thought we'd always be together. I was sure our love would last. Now, I don't have the beautiful voice of Kelly and Zach to sing that song, but you get the point. I love that song. I had to make that my ringtone or something. I can't get enough of that song. And they sing it over and over again. So that'll get stuck in your head too. That song plays nonstop during this episode. Through it, we can see that Zach is slowly falling under the Mindy spell because I don't know why. I mean, she's not even... Now, I'm about to be really mean to Mindy right now, but it's not her. It's her clothes. She's not particularly hot. And she's wearing like these giant, like boxy business suits. It's not real cute, but maybe that's just modern me thinking. And like, if I was, you know, early 90s me, like 10-year-old me, or however old I was when I was watching this shit, I would have been like, ooh, look at Mindy all cute in her blazer, her boxy blazer, and her neon pink skirt. So yeah. Anyway, so we see Mindy and Zach getting closer. Mindy slowly coming between the band. And Mindy just basically tells Zach, like, dude, you're the star here. These other people with you are just backup singers. And I don't know. I think Zach really is the boss of the group because Lisa comes to him showing him her sketches. Because she was the one that was originally designing all of the group's costumes. But Mindy is like, get the fuck out of here with that bullshit, Lisa. She basically snatches those sketches out of her hands and sets them on fire right in front of her. And Zach just sits there and watches her do it because Lisa comes up to her and Zach is like all excited about her sketches. He thinks they're good. And Mindy is like, nah, chick. Bob Mackie is going to be designing the costumes now. And then Zach, out of nowhere, like Zach is this really cultured person that we just didn't know it because Mindy says Bob Mackie is going to be designing their costumes. And Zach is like, oh shit, really? Bob Mackie is designing new band costumes? He designed for Cher. And it's like, wait, what? Since when does Zach Morris care about Bob Mackie and Cher costumes? Zach has hidden depths. We never knew it. He knows who manages the Beach Buddies. He knows about Bob Mackie designs. Like, Zach is just, he's on, like, that 1502 on his SATs was not a mistake. It was just, we just didn't know. Eventually, this all leads to Zach Attack blowing up. We see a whole bunch of like little montages of the tabloids coming out about how Zach Attack is attacking each other now, and things are just all messed up. And it finally comes to a head when the asshole Screech gives an interview to a tabloid, calling Zach just saying Zach ain't shit. Just stuff we already knew about Zach. Screech says it to a tabloid. And Zach is like, you know what? I don't need this shit. And Mindy is like, come on, baby, let's get out of here. And it's just so awkward. And like, she's such a bad actress. But Zach leaves and the band breaks up. Screech goes on to visit the after they break up. Screech goes to who does he visit? The high geek who tells him to. This is so stupid. I hate the high geek part. He tells Screech that he should go on to he should move to the beach and marry a cheerleader, which is what he does. Slater becomes a race car driver. Kelly becomes an actress. She plays a nun on Santa Barbara. And Lisa is the one that I am most offended by. So Lisa becomes a fighter on U.S. Gladiator. Come on, you guys. U.S. Gladiator. It's like we couldn't think of this is so ridiculous. And I feel like American Gladiator was on NBC. So I don't know why they couldn't just say American Gladiator. Like, was American Gladiator, did the producers of American Gladiator think they were too good to be mentioned on Saved by the Bell? They were like, no, we do not want our show mentioned on this shitty Saturday morning kids show. Oh, I don't know, but that'd be so funny if American Gladiator thought they were too good for Saved by the Bell. Anyway, she's Lethal Lisa on U.S. Gladiators, and I don't get it. Like, this was a moment where I was like, I remember this, and this, like, always, I never understood why Lisa was turned into this, like, angry black woman fighter. Like, Lisa in this show has never shown that she is anything. She's a fashionista. She's an athlete from time to time when they need to fill out their athletics. So, like, she's a cheerleader when they need a cheerleader with Kelly. And she, for like 5 seconds, she's on the track team. And I don't think that's come up yet. That is next season, I believe. Or maybe that has come up. Anyway, but Lisa is not that chick. Why didn't they just make her a fashion designer? I know that wouldn't have been funny, but come on. Kelly in a nun's habit wasn't funny, but they still made her a fucking nun. Lisa as Lethal Lisa as a fighter in American Gladiator was just... It was something I rolled my eyes at, and it was something that was stop it. That is not Lisa Turtle. That is nobody's Lisa Turtle. Like, she would never be on U.S. Gladiator because she knows that American Gladiator is just a better name, and she would have turned her nose up at that U.S. Gladiator shit. Anyway, Zach goes on to his solo career, but Zach is such an artiste that he and Mindy have a falling out because Zach thinks that he's a true artist and he does not like being what he calls the male Madonna with his hair all like gelled and teased up, and he's got an earring in his ear and he's wearing like a sequin blazer. He looks ridiculous. He looks like a white MC Hammer. So, you know, he's telling Mindy, like, girl, I am a real artist. I write my own music. I want to, the audience can't even hear my terrible voice. And Mindy is like, none of that matters. Look at the lasers. Like, look at the bright lights, Zach. You know, you're pretty. Be pretty on stage. And Zach is having none of that. He has too much integrity for that. And he tells Mindy bye, and he goes to see Slater. The whole group shows up at the end of the episode because Slater got into a car accident. And so they all show up, and they become friends again. Zach apologizes for being Zach once again, for being... for just being terrible and being Zach. And they all chant friends because Screech said so. And they're all friends again. And they go back to seeing, they reunite after some like indescribable, like some just unknown amount of time that they were split up. But they get back together. Zach Attack is back and they go back to singing Friends Forever and everybody lives happily ever after. But then the Inception part happens. So Casey Kasem is all, you know, throughout this episode, comes in and out. But then the end of the episode happens and then the rest of the group, Zach is like sleeping in his garage. The rest of the group walks in. And we find out that Zach dreamed all of this. And I'm like, what? Did he dream the rockumentary? Or did he dream that they were famous? Like, I don't understand this. I don't understand, like, which level he was on. Like, okay, so was he seeing Casey Kasem throughout all of this? Or was he just seeing all their... like all of their success was like his dream. And then Casey Kasem got thrown in and another level. Like, I don't understand it. It's bizarre. And then I was thinking like Zach, even in his own dreams, Zach knows he's a piece of shit because he is terrible. he is terrible in this rockumentary. Like even he knows how awful he is. So he can't even dream himself as a good guy. He's always just the bad guy. It's so funny because I'm like, if this is Zach's dream, why would he make himself this way? Why would he make himself like drop his friends in the band? Why would he dream himself doing all of that? And it's like, because Zach knows he ain't shit. So Zach is self-aware. That's another thing we know. Zach is self-aware. Zach knows that he ain't shit. And that the fact that none of his friends realize it, or they do realize it and they just keep on ignoring it, is like, that makes Zach like some like next level type thing, because it's like he knows he ain't shit. He does all of this terrible stuff to people and they never call him on it. Or they call him on it, but it lasts for like 5 seconds. And so he can go on to doing the next terrible thing he's going to do to them. It's just, it's such a weird, like Inception-y type thing going on. I love it. So anyway, that's the end. We made it through the rockumentary. oh, the one thing I forgot is I'm about to badmouth my girl. Kelly Slater and Screech try to write a song together. Or not even try. They write a song together. Oh my God. Is it horrible? It's so bad. And they think it's good, which this was one of the funny parts to me. They write this like this song about how school is cool. But it sounds like a commercial jingle. So I don't know why they presented this to the band to sing this. And Zach, this is the one time like I'm really on Zach's side in this episode, because Zach, when they're singing the song, Zach actually, he sits there and he laughs at them, like laughs in their faces. It is hilarious to watch him sit there and laugh at like him and Mindy. Like, I don't like Mindy, but he looks at Mindy. He's like, what the fuck is this? Like, and then he just completely ignores them. He's like, nah, we'll sing the songs that I write. And I'm like, you know what? Zach's kind of right in this moment. Like, Zach ain't shit. He's terrible. But he's right. You let Zach write the songs if this is going to be the shit that you write. They're so bad. And one other thing. Tiffany Amber Thiessen. She's Tiffany Thiessen now, but she will always be Tiffany Amber Thiessen to me. I don't know who was directing her in this episode, but my girl just doesn't know what to do when she's on stage, when she's like fake singing on stage. So whatever they were like, the only thing she knew how to do was just to like, she was the, I guess you would call her the lead singer. She was the only one that didn't play an instrument. So she, her job was just to be a singer and to walk around the stage and to like sing next to everybody else. And it is so funny watching her like not know what to do. Just walking around the stage, like standing next to Zach, like getting real close so they can sing together. And then getting close to Lisa and, you know, they'll sing together. But she tries to do, she does that with Slater too. But Slater is playing the goddamn drums. So she can't really, she can't really get close to him. It is so, just go, just watch her. Like, if you don't want to watch this entire episode, like, why? You should watch the entire episode. But if you don't want to, just watch the parts where they're like performing. And just watch her, like, just walk around to everybody else in the band to stand next to them and sing. It is so funny. It's the first time I ever noticed this, and now I can't unnotice it. So just watching her, just watch her walk back and forth across the stage, just standing next to people and singing. It's funny, and you will not be able to get enough of it. So that is the end of the episode, you guys. Coming up on the next episode is season 4, episode 23, Cut Day. The gang is out of school on cut day, but Zach's 9 unexcused absences will get him suspended if he goes too. So yeah, this is the episode, I believe, where Jesse and Slater break up, but it's sort of weird because they've not really been together. They've been sort of off and on. So yeah, so they're going to break up officially in the next episode. But I already thought that they were broken up, or I thought that, I don't know what I thought, but they weren't, they've barely been together. So whatever, pour one out for the Slater Jesse relationship. Slessy Jader. I don't know what their couple name is, but maybe they don't have one. Any old way. That is the end. You should follow me on the social medias. I'm on Twitter at NurtrovertPod. Use the hashtag NerdyWatch because I live tweet. I don't live tweet Saved by the Bell because I save that. I save all of the magic for the podcast. But I live tweet The Gifted and Black Lightning every Tuesday. Those shows are so much fun. And I live tweet a bunch of other stuff. So follow me on Nurtrovert Pod, use the hashtag NerdyWatch, or just search the hashtag NerdyWatch and you'll see what I'm live tweeting at the time. On Instagram, I'm at The Introverted Nerd, and like the Facebook page at facebook.com/TheIntrovertedNerd. if you want to send me feedback about Saved by the Bell, or anything else, send it to TheIntrovertedNerd@gmail.com. And I will be back later this week. Coming up on the podcast, Black Lightning. I have a Black Lightning review and a review of the latest episode of The Gifted. So much more coming on this snow day for me. So until then, everybody, later.